Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Why don't you get a Bible app or whatever it is you have and go to Matthew chapter 6 tonight. And I just felt impressed to talk about this. It's a long title, but, you know, we'll just see if the message is as long as the title. All right? I want to talk about praying the will of God into the earth. Praying the will of God into the earth. And I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 6, and we'll begin there. Verse number 7. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He says, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions. He didn't say you couldn't have repetitions. He said, don't use vain ones, empty ones, as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. How many know God doesn't hear you because you prayed an hour? He hears you because you prayed in faith, right? Now, but be ye not, verse 8, therefore like unto them, for your Father, he knows what things you have need of before you ask him. All right, so God already knows, but we're still supposed to ask. We have an asking covenant. And Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. Amen. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus, in his teaching his disciples to pray, he said one of the things to pray is that God's will would be done in earth as it is in heaven. Amen. So, you know, if the will of God was automatically done, then we wouldn't need to pray this. I mean, God wouldn't ask you to pray something. If he says don't use vain repetitions, he's not going to ask you to pray vain things. You understand? If the Bible instructs us to, pray for something, then God's intention is that he's going to give it to us. Amen? So, you know, we have to understand that we must pray the will of God into the earth. It's not all up to God's sovereignty. Now, I know I talk about this, but people have to get a hold of this because there's still a lot of this left in people that they think that everything is up to the sovereignty of God. If God wants me to have it, I will have it. Now, we understand God is sovereign. We know that, but we have to understand that in his sovereignty, he's done some things. He's already declared how things are going to be. If you want to know the sovereignty of God, read his word. Right? That's the sovereignty of God. You know, there's a scripture in Psalmist, and people take it and they use it wrongly, where it says, the Lord sits in heaven, he does whatever he pleases. Well, he's already done what he pleased, which was give us authority. How many know it's the will of God that everybody in Evansville be saved tonight? But we're to pray for their salvation, right? Why is that? So that God's will would be done. This is something people think that everything that happens, it's God's will. But no, there's things that happen in our life, it's because of the devil. The Bible says that Satan's the god of this world. And he comes to kill, steal, and destroy, not bless. Okay? And so we have to understand that, you know, people think this, but it's wrong thinking that if God wants me to have something, then I'll just automatically have it. No, God, and I'm going to show you this from the Bible, that it may be the will of God for your life, but you not have it if you don't pray it into the earth. Right. Now, understand this. We know that in the end, God's going to have his way, right? Yeah. That in the end, yes. You know, and the Bible talks about in the millennial reign that Jesus will rule this earth with a rod of iron. That's strong, isn't it? That means if you think about skipping church, he'll beat you. Okay, maybe I stretched that a little bit, but that's good preaching anyway. How many know that? See, you're not going to have a choice, you know. And of course, you know, his will is always the best thing anyway, right? But now, yes, in the end, God's will, when we have the new heavens and the new earth, God's will is going to be done throughout this earth. But until then, Jesus said, pray. Didn't he say that? We just read it, right? Pray, your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, there's a lot of revelation in that. Number one, we have to pray if we're going to have the will of God in our lives like he wants us to have it. Number two, God wants it to be in our lives like it is in heaven. How many could say we probably have some growing to do? Wouldn't you say that? So we have to understand, there's a lot of revelation in this verse right here that you could preach on, but, you know, we're never going to have the full will of God in our lives without prayer. Everything, I mean, everything in the natural has a process by which it gives birth. You know, animals, people, plants, everything has a process. Well, in the spirit realm, the way we give birth to things is by our prayer life. We actually birth things. The Bible says in Isaiah, when Zion travails, when she travailed, she brought forth her children. So we have to understand that, you know, even though it's God's will, just like, you know what the Lord spoke to me about this year being a year of open doors. That's his will, but that doesn't mean it's automatically going to come to pass in people's lives. Our prayer life has something to do with that. Our faith has something to do with that. And if we don't exercise any faith or we don't pray, then we'll miss some things there that God wants to do. Amen. Now, there's a lot of scripture that talks about this, but I've just chosen a few to look at tonight because of our time's sake. But I think it's important that we see from the Bible that we're instructed to pray what Jesus said to pray here, not in just this one place, but in different places. We see this principle where if we're going to have the will of God, we're going to have to pray to have the will of God. I don't know about you, but I want the will of God for my life. Amen. Whatever that might be. You know, right now, you know, the will of God is for me to be right here in Evansville, Indiana, and he hasn't said anything different. And so I've been here for, in this area, not actually Evansville, but I've been here heading for 30 years now. You know, because I'm not a fly-by-night guy. I didn't run when things were tough. Did you think about it? Are you kidding me? Everybody thinks about it. But if you got some biblical sense and integrity, you don't do that. You stay put through the good times, through the hard times. Amen. Through all of it, right? Paul said, "Preach the word when in season and instance, and when in season and out of season." I mean, when they like it and when they don't like it. When everybody's on board, when none of them are on board, stick with the word of God, because God will always reward you for your faithfulness. Amen. Amen. And so, you know, people sometimes make their own plans, but it's not wise to do that with your life. You can get in trouble. Amen. You know, I've told people, and I've said this before, I've told some of my pastor friends in Michigan. I've got pastor friends in Michigan. I say, I live as close to Michigan as I ever want to. And once again, not because it's a bad state, not because it's bad people. It's a beautiful state. I just don't like the cold weather. I mean, it's cold here, but that's another level sometimes. Y'all follow me? But if God sent me to the North Pole and I knew it was God, well, then I'd want to do that. I mean, my flesh wouldn't want to do it, but I'd want to do it. How many know you? Sometimes God will ask you to do things your flesh doesn't want to do. Right? You say, well, you know, if God wants you to do it, you know, you'll just have this burning desire inside your heart. Well, maybe in your heart, but not necessarily in your flesh. There's a huge difference. And so we have to discern that sometimes our flesh does. You know, my flesh does. You know, I don't go on mission trips because I just want to go see the country. You can ask my wife, and I've told you, and I mean it. There's two places I love to be, both's home. I'm serious. That's me. I don't go. You see, people think, well, I bet Pastor has a lot of fun on these missions. Well, spiritually, I have fun. Naturally, I don't have any fun. It's not fun getting up and being at the airport at 3:30 in the morning. It's not fun traveling. Amen. It's just not fun doing all this stuff. I don't have any fun. It's not fun to the flesh, but it's satisfying to your spirit, man, because I only go because I know God wants me to go. That's it. Right? You know, the trip I've got coming up, It's a long trip. There's absolutely no way in the natural I want to go on that trip. I never have. I've never wanted to go. I don't want to go. My flesh does not want to go because it's hard. It's early every morning. And I just don't like that. I like to be in my own bed, my own, right? Come on. Listen, I went on this trip and I missed the AFC and NFC title games. And as I went, I thought, you know, I wonder if I can make it there and back without hearing who won. And you know what? God in His goodness, God in His mercy, let me do it. I tell you, I'm impressed. Praise God. You know, I thought, well, you know, after Sunday afternoon, I'm not checking the news. I don't want to know who won. Maybe I can make it all the way back home and nobody tells me. And I did. So I got home and watched them. Hallelujah. And I kind of had an idea because I'm sitting in the airport waiting for my flight out of Honduras, and sitting across from me is a Hispanic guy with a 49ers hat on and jersey. And I'm thinking, he wouldn't be wearing that if they lost yesterday. I didn't know for sure, but I figured that, you know. But anyway, I'm just talking to you about, you know, God's will. It doesn't always jive with your flesh, but it sure jives with your heart. And I remember those foolish days when we said, well, you know, you'll just want to do it. You'll just want to do it if it's the will of God. I learned real quick that's just nothing but foolishness. Your flesh doesn't always want to do it. Your flesh doesn't want to witness to everybody the Lord leads you to. But your spirit man sings when you obey. Amen? Look with me at James chapter 5. I want to look at this because we're just talking about we got to pray the will of God into the earth, which will mean we have to pray the will of God into our life. It's not just automatic. James chapter 5, go there. James, the fifth chapter. And let's begin reading at verse 17. You got it? It says, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now here's something that's really interesting, because it was the will of God for it not to rain 3 years and 6 months on the earth. Right? Then it was the will of God for it to rain. Right? But Elijah, if you remember, he went up to Mount Carmel when it was time for it to rain again, and he began to pray. See, the Bible said he put his face between his knees. Well, we know what he was doing because it tells us right here he was praying earnestly. Earnestly. Remember, sometimes we have to be earnest about it. Jesus said, man, ought always to pray and not to faint. Stick with it. And so here we go. Here's a man. He knows the will of God, but he prays the will of God into the earth. Now, that's significant that we know that, because that tells us something. Amen. So, you know, he prays the will of God. See, how many, he didn't just decide it's not going to rain. Right? You know, a minister that I've met him, but I'm going to say we know one another and we're friends. We're not. But we've met at, you know, a meeting one time. He said this. He said when I was going to, he was just young, you know, young and full of zeal. But he went to Rhema, you know, and he said when I was in Rhema, you know, he said he got taught on prayer, and he said I came out of class. He hadn't heard this. This was new stuff to him. You know, he'd only been saved, you know, just a short time, but he went to Rhema to be trained, and he said I came out of class at Rhema, and he said I heard Brother Hagin teach on prayer, so he said, I just declared that there, you know, he said, I prayed about it. He said, and I declared there's not going to be another tornado in Oklahoma ever again. Well, I mean, the Bible, God didn't say that, right? And so he said, I worked at this filling station. He said, so I went to work that day, you know, after I got off Raymond. And he said, I told my boss, I said, you know, I learned some things today about prayer. You did. He said, go change some oil. He said, wait a minute, let me tell you what I learned about prayer. He said, here's what I learned about prayer, that God answers prayer. And I learned some things about prayer. He said, so I prayed there's never going to be another tornado in Oklahoma ever again. His boss goes, is that right? Go change the oil in that vehicle. He said, that night, we had the biggest outbreak of tornadoes in the history of Oklahoma. He said, man, I didn't want to go back to work. He said, so I sheepishly walk into work, and my boss looks at me like, He goes, I'm still learning about prayer. How many know we're all still learning about prayer? But I'm just saying, just because we think something up does not mean that God thought it up, right? Of course, God's, tornadoes are from the devil, but he's still the God of this world. You know, the idea that we're going to stop every bad thing from going on, that's going to happen when Jesus is in control, right? But we can stop bad things from affecting our life, right? Because we have authority. But what I'm simply saying to you is Elijah just didn't make this up and say, I don't want it to rain for 3.5 years. He didn't do that. And he didn't say, okay, now it's going to rain. He got this from God. But even though it's the will of God, how many know he's still praying for it to manifest? Come on, is anybody listening to me tonight? So we have to pray the will of God. It's not just automatically. If we don't have a prayer life, we're going to miss a lot of things. Look at Colossians chapter 4. Let's go there. Colossians 4. I just want to show you this out of the Bible. I know I'll look at some scripture tonight because I think it's important that we let the Word of God talk to us about this. Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 12, it says, I pronounce this Epaphras, it's pronounced different ways, but I just pronounce it the way I want to. And whatever works for me, whatever I remember. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salutes you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Well, how do you know if the will of God was automatic, he wouldn't have to be praying for them to stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Amen? See, listen, God's got a will for your life, but you got to pray. If you're going to stand in it, if you're going to walk in it, you got to have a prayer life. You got to pray. See, I'm saved today because people prayed. Now, I didn't realize that, but somewhere when I got my 20s, the blinders started coming off my eyes. When I got around 20, the blinders started coming off my eyes. It may have begun in 19, but really hit 20, honestly. I was blinded to the gospel. You know, the Bible says the God of this world blinds the minds of those that believe not, lest the glorious light of the gospel should shine unto them. Of course, he tries to keep their minds blinded because if they see the light of the gospel, he's lost them. Amen. If you spiritually begin to see the gospel, Satan's lost you because Jesus looks a lot better than him. But people's minds are blinded. They don't see that. And mine was blinded like everybody else's. And yet, but something happened. That veil started to get lifted and that light started to just a little bit shine in there. And I began to see some things like maybe I need to change my life. Maybe I need to serve God. And that veil just kept getting lifted. Hallelujah. I began to see things. Well, I didn't know it's because people were praying for me. I didn't realize that. And I've told you this story before, but, I went to, after I did give my life to Jesus, I was witnessing to people, and we'd go knock on doors and things like that. And then I was asked or something, I can't remember, to go see this guy who had backslidden. He had been in church, but he had backslidden. And so I went to his apartment or whatever it was and went to see him. And he said something to me. He said, this is really funny. He says, you're here to pray for me, and I used to pray for you. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, your mom used to ask for prayer requests for you at the full gospel meetings, at church, and I would pray for you to get saved. And now here you are praying for me to get back to the Lord. So when I heard that, I realized, and I put it together with that scripture there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I realized what happened is why I was just going along enjoying my life as a heathen, not knowing any better really, and just having a good time, I thought. until the light started to spring in. Now I'm not having a good time being a heathen any longer. I mean, I'm not enjoying it any longer. I'm all of a sudden, I'm being drawn to Jesus. Hallelujah. And so there's hope for everybody. I said, there's hope for everybody. He said, well, I got a relative. He's just so far out there. You know, he may be closer than you realize. Because if you'd have seen me 2 days before I gave my life to Jesus, it looked like I was a long ways from Jesus Christ. I was messed up. Big time, royally. Couldn't even walk, hardly. I was that messed up on stuff. But God knew something was coming. Hallelujah. Amen. The devil threw one last fling at me, you know, one last deal. And that was the last one. Praise God. Are you with me now? Hallelujah. And I haven't been drunk on alcohol since. On the Holy Spirit, but not on alcohol. Amen. And so I'm just showing you, it's not automatic that the will of God is going to take place in your life. You say, well, if God wants me to have it, surely I'll have it. No, God wants a lot of people to have a lot of things they don't have. Right. He wants people healed that aren't healed. Right. He wants people saved that aren't saved. Right. He wants people delivered that aren't delivered. Amen. Right? Amen. We used to say religiously and stupidly, I might add, everybody's here tonight that God wants to be here. Are you kidding? God wants every one of these seats filled, us adding on. That's what he wants. Not even all, not, that's not happening. God's will's not happening in people's lives, right? Are you with me now? I mean, not even all the people come to church are here that should be. So, you know, I know people have things that happen, but and God knows the difference between those two too, right? You know, well, I'm going to be there. I'm sure going to try. When's the last time you heard somebody, well, I'm going to try to eat supper tonight? No, you're going to flat do it because you want to do it, right? You do what you want to do, right? You know, I'm going to try. No, man, you know, that's religion talking there. Try. Amen. I'll be there some good day. You just wait and see. Yeah, we've been waiting. We're not seeing yet. See, that's just religion, right? That's religion. Does God know who's going to be here? Well, he certainly knows who's going to be here. But does that mean everybody's here that he wants here or any church? On any given service? No, of course not. Of course not. He wants everybody saved. Amen. Now, knowing that, see, the same thing's true in our lives, that not everything that God wants for us is going to come to pass unless we pray about it. Yeah, I think it was Wesley that said, it seems like God can do... it seemed like God is limited by our prayer life. This is John Wesley. It seems like God is limited by our prayer life, that he can't do anything in the earth apart from prayer. And then he said, why this is, I don't know. Well, we've had a little bit of Bible teaching since his days, and we do have some revelation as to why. It's because God's will has to be given birth to, right? See, when God came to Abraham, he said, as for me, my covenant's between me and you. As for me. That's the way I see it. It's up to you. See, that's what he said. Genesis 17, as for me, my covenant's between me and you. That doesn't mean it's going to be that way. He said, that's the way I see it. And Abraham accepted it. And he circumcised his whole household. And so he accepted it. So the same thing's true with our lives. There's a lot of things God wants to happen that won't happen. Amen. You know, I wouldn't have gotten in the ministry without a prayer life. You know, I said, well, I know God's called me, and when he, you know, in his good time, he'll open up doors. You got to pray. Right. Paul said, pray for that the door be opened to me. That's Colossians chapter 4, 2, for the word, pray. Amen. So there has to be some prayer goes into it. Amen. Come on. Now, look at this. We're going to begin to wind down here in just a minute. Well, let's go to Jeremiah 33. I love this scripture. Jeremiah 33, and... I want to read a verse over there, Jeremiah 33, And let's go to, well, let's see here. Let's go to verse 3. Jeremiah 33, God said, call unto me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you know not. Well, how many know, we could ask this question, what would happen if we don't call? I said, what would happen if we don't call? This should be easy. This shouldn't be hard. What would happen? He won't show us great and mighty things. We won't see the great and mighty things. See, so we have to call unto him. Amen. We used to have a song, call him up. Amen. You know, never remember that. Call him up, tell him, won't you? Get Jesus on that main line. Tell him what you want. Come on, how many old enough remember that? Yeah. Yeah. It reminded me of something I tried to say in Honduras when I was preaching. I was talking about something, I don't even remember what it was, and I said, well, I'm not gonna tell you that because that would date me. Well, they didn't know how to translate that. And the translator just started laughing, man. He lost it. He's just tickled because he says, the way he said, the only way I could translate it is like, you want to date yourself. I said, well, don't translate that. But he just lost it laughing. I'm thinking, what was so funny about that? And I said, what is this? And he goes, only way I can translate that is to tell him you want to date yourself. I said, don't do that. Just skip it. All right. But Jeremiah said, call unto me and I will show you. Everybody say great and mighty. Now, here's the interesting thing about the great and mighty. It means inaccessible things. Things that you haven't been able to get. If you'll call unto God, He will answer you. And He will show you great and mighty things that you couldn't access before. They were inaccessible to you. Hallelujah. And we got to have a prayer life that's a no-quit prayer life, right? You know, well, I prayed, nothing happened. Well, where's your faith at? I said, where's your faith at? So you have to stay with it. You know, that's what Jesus said. Men ought always to pray and not what? Not to lose heart, not to faint. Well, that tells you that, you know, if you prayed for something and it immediately happened, there's no opportunity to lose heart. Right? I mean, you know, we've talked about before when, I don't know, this might have been the early 1990s, maybe mid-90s, when McDonald's put in that 30-second clock. I never forget that because Phyllis was really, she was really legalistic about that thing. And they had, am I the only one that remembers that? Remember that? And it's like you got the 30-second clock. If they did get you your food in 30 seconds... It hit 30 once. You go, tell them. I mean, come on, let's have some grace, sister. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, and so, you know, and they finally found this was who, I don't know what, who thought of that marketing idea, but they dumped it after. It didn't take long for they was like, this was stupid. And, but having God, you know, things that we receive in the Spirit that doesn't have a 30-second clock on it sometimes. Yeah. You know, it's not that God's slow, but there's the spirit realm to deal with. There's moving things around. A minister that I know, he's in heaven now, but he needed an airplane for his ministry. You know, not everybody does, but some people do that travel a lot. And if you had just went with me this weekend, you'd have realized if you're a preacher, you better have an airplane if you're traveling all the time. I mean, you know, I almost missed two flights because of them, not because of me. My last flight to get home, and I really wanted to make that one. Time I got through customs, time I got through immigration, time I had to pick up my baggage and have it, because when you come into the country, you got to pick your baggage up, and then you got to take it and have it checked in again. And time I did all that, I had to run. When I got, you know, they had groups, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They were at group 6. Time I got there, I ran all the way. I just barely made it. I'm thinking, man, if I was a preacher and I preached all the time, I wouldn't want these people flying me nowhere. Anyway, he was flying, you know, commercial. And he asked his secretary, he said, would you figure out how many days I spent in the airport this year? Because he traveled all the time. She did some figuring, said, came back to him and said, you spent 150 days waiting in the airport this year. How many of that is not redeeming the time? So he said, I got to have an airplane. I can't let these people fly me. They don't go everywhere, and they're late, and they don't apologize. And they'll let you sleep overnight in the airport. Try that a time or two. You test your fruit. But anyway, so he began to pray, and he began to ask, and God revealed to him, you know, yes, it is my will for you to have one. He began to pray, began to believe God for one, and time went by, and time went by, and time went by. He still didn't have it. And he said he went to the Lord about it. He said, Lord, I don't understand. He says, I still don't have my airplane. The Lord said, I spoke to 100 people, and none of them's obeyed me in giving to it. He said, but I'll get it to you. And eventually he did. So you see, things like that. You're with me now? Things like that. Things getting away, demons getting away, people getting away. Sometimes we get in the way. But if we just stay with it, we just keep praying, we keep believing God. That's what Jesus said, men ought to faint, ought to pray and not to faint. And he went on to talk about there was a widow woman, and she went to the judge and she said, avenge me, my adversary. And he wouldn't, you know, but after a while he thought, he said, you know, this widow woman, she's going to keep coming every day unless she's going to wear me out. So I'm going to give her what she wants. And the Lord said, won't God avenge his own speedily? He won't be like that judge. He's not reluctant to do it. He's not slow to do it. Says he'll do it speedily. But Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith, or literally this kind of faith on the earth? Faith that just will be bulldog-like. I'm not taking no for the answer. I found out the will of God, and this is the way it's going to be in my life. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Now, did I tell you to go to a scripture, or did we already read it? Okay. Let's go then to, Matthew 18. Matthew 18. How many of Jesus said, or excuse me, James said, you have not because you ask not. And so we'll do without if we don't ask. You know, when I go to a restaurant, I ask for things. How about you? I'm not like over demanding. I never was. Phyllis says, but I'm not. I'll say something to you. You know, we get ready to leave. So, well, tell them to bring me this container. Oh, then tell them to bring me this container. Tell me I want a drink to go. You'd have to see. I'll say, do you want the snake also? That's a movie we used to watch. But...
No, they
want
the snake.
Yeah, John Wayne. This girl kept wanting, John Wayne was rescuing this girl out of this pit she fell into, you know. And she had dropped her father's gun in there. She dropped a coin in there. She dropped something else. He's just trying to get her out of there. Snake's already bitten her, and he's got a rope, and he's going to haul her up, you know. And, oh, I want my dad's gun. I want my dad's gun. I want this, and I want the coin. He goes, forget it. You want the snake also? Anyway, you know, but how many know when you go to a restaurant, you tell them what you want, right? You put in a request. And if you don't ask, you don't have. Amen? You just keep asking. And that's the way Phyllis says she believes in that. And
Well,
I got to admit, I harassed a waitress one time. Remember that? We went to the barbecue place. It was a rib place, and they didn't have ribs. And I'm like, this is a rib place. No, I'm not being mean. I was being funny. This is a rib place. Well, we're out of ribs. She said, hey, you can look off the menu and see what you want. So she's gone for a bit. She comes back, what do you want? I said, ribs. That's why I come to a rib place. I let her have it all night long. Then Phil said, you better give her a good tip. I did. It was worth her time. Now, Matthew 18. Look with me at verse number 18. Matthew 18, 18. Jesus said, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you... Who's going to do this now?
We are.
You are, right? Us-ins, right? Whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, I love this because it tells us it's our job to move before heaven moves.
Right.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Pray this, Jesus said, on earth as it is in heaven. And you got to be persistent in your faith sometimes, right?
Right.
And so he said, whatever you, now, you know, you could say it like this, whatever you forbid on earth is forbidden in heaven. Whatever you permit on earth is permitted in heaven. But it's up to you. Now, I don't remember what translation this is. I have it written down in my Bible here. I didn't put what translation it was, but so I can't tell you. But I really like this translation. It says, a no on earth is a no in heaven. I love that. A yes on earth is a yes in heaven. Thank you for your excitement. I'm telling you, that's rich. If you say no on earth, and now you understand, you have to believe this, right? Jesus said, what things soever you ask in prayer believing, you shall receive, right? Right? So you have to believe it. You say, well, I'm just going to try this. Well, no, you got to believe it. See, I was sitting on the front row of a church getting ready to preach one night, and I noticed on the pulpit it had a sign up there that said prayer changes things. Well, I've seen that before, and I agree with that statement, but it's like the Lord put a new twist on it for me I hadn't thought. I'm looking at this sign. I'm getting ready to preach, and I'm looking at this sign. Prayer changes things, and it's like the Holy Spirit said to me, it's believing prayer that changes things. Think about it. See, prayer, you could pray but not believe it, right? When you pray, what things serve your desire? When you pray, believing you shall receive, right? So you could pray and not believe it, and that kind of prayer doesn't change anything. So when we're talking about whatever you say no to, you got to believe it. Now, here's the thing. If it immediately always changed, then Jesus wouldn't say and give us the warning, went on always to pray and not faint, not lose heart, not give up. But because it doesn't come to pass always over. Come on, am I preaching to anybody? Is this your life, or do you just pray and bam, there it is immediately? I mean, you're believing God for a new car and you pray and you look out and, wow, there it is in the driveway. Praise the Lord. I'm good. Well, if you're that good, pray for me. I'll quit praying and let you pray. Praise God. No, help me understand. It doesn't work that way, does it? Sometimes you got to stand, right? And like Paul said, having done all to stand, stand there for it. And once again, it's not God who's slow, but it's just sometimes he's working with people like us. Just look in the mirror some morning and say, God, this is the best you have to work with? Because, I mean, people are people, right? Listen, people are the same everywhere you go. Hello. You think, we'll go over here because I know people are a lot different. No, they're still the same. They're late to church. In Central America, just like they are in North America. Just like they are in Europe. Just like they are in Canada. And Africa. They are in Africa too. Because churches started at 10:30 for 30 years, but they forgot. We actually had a guy call us one time. We've been having service at this one particular place at 7:30 for years. I don't know how many years, but years. And he actually calls. What time does service start tonight? He's talking to Phyllis, so Phyllis calls him by his name. 7:30, same as every night. People need the Lord. They just need our Lord. Come on, I'm just having some fun with you. Quit looking so icky. You're all here, right? I'm just making a point. God, what is my point? What?
People are the same.
That's my point. God has to work with people. My point is sometimes things are delayed because God sometimes uses people to bring us the answer. And, you know, you can see, I did this one time. I did this one time, honestly. The Lord spoke to me about this family, and he, it might have been a husband, wife, or whatever. But I don't know if they had kids or not, is what I'm saying that. But anyway, he spoke to me. He said, I want you to give them talking about me, give them $1,000. Well, I thought, they don't need it. Like God's dumb. But, you know, in a natural, it didn't look like they needed it to me. And so, you know, I drugged my feet for about a week, and I thought, well, I'm going to investigate, see if maybe, kind of sniff around, see if maybe they do need it, you know. You know what, finally, after a week of that, God got through to me. I didn't ask you whether they needed it. Are you with me? See, we're so conditioned, you know, we see these pictures of poor people, and they say give, help, and all, and we give. If that's what moves you, then you need to step it up a notch or two and let the voice of the Lord lead you. Yeah. Right? I don't just give to people that need it. I give to people that I'm led to give it to or whoever I just want to. Of course we help the needy. The Bible tells us to do that. Of course, that's scriptural. That's Bible. But I'm simply saying what I was doing was trying to play God here and figure out whether they need it or not. God, it wasn't none of my business whether they need it or not. If God said give it, they need it. You never know what God's got planned for them to do. Amen. Amen. I've had people do that to me. Finally, you know, God's been dealing with me for 2 weeks to give you this money. I thought, well, I needed it 2 weeks ago. Thanks. I didn't say it that way. I mean, you don't say, well, some people do. You don't say everything you think, right? A lady in this church told me, believe me this, I'm not making this up. She said, I just speak whatever comes to my mind. I said, you know what the Bible calls you? A fool. She didn't go here any longer. But I had a Bible verse. The Bible's a little, you know, I think it's New King James. A fool vents all of his mind. I mean, you don't say everything on your mind. You're not going to stay married that long, very long if you do. Well, I can't understand why you fight all the time. Because you say everything you think. I about called you a name, but it wasn't a dirty name. How many got something tonight? So we have not because we ask not. Now listen to this. James said we ask and receive not because we ask amiss that we may consume it on our lust. Now what did he mean? You're not supposed to pray for things? Some people interpret it that way. No. Jesus already said about things whatever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive. What he's saying is you can get out of balance in your prayer life where it's just all about you. And you don't think about praying for other people. Amen? And the needs of others, right? See, you should be the smallest thing in your prayer life, right? Other things should be. God should be. His kingdom should be. You know, I don't mean like praying for God, but, you know, him leading you. Believe me. The only prayer, only reason God would need prayer is because he has to deal with us. I feel sorry for him sometimes. Is that good preaching or what? So you have to go back to what Jesus said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He literally meant that when he said that God's will won't happen like it should in your life or on this earth unless you pray. And you ask. Hallelujah. But if you do, you can have a heaven on earth life. Stand up, everybody. Praise God. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.